The situation in Venezuela has been deteriorating for years. Hyperinflation, food shortages, and soaring unemployment are commonplace. But none of those were obstacles to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who won another six-year term, even as critics have widely denounced the vote as rigged. Mariana Zuniga is a journalist underground in Caracas, and she joins me now. Mariana, hello.
Hi.
So you're there. Tell us what the last 48 hours has been like.
Well, as you just said, President Nicolas Maduro just won the presidency. He was elected for a second term. Critics said that the election was heavily rigged in his favor, maybe due to a mix of coercion, propaganda, and possibly fraud. In Caracas and around the country, the turnout was extremely low, probably the lowest for a presidential election ever. This was due to a call from many opposition leaders for a boycott of the vote, but also government supporters were disappointed because when we went to polling stations that were in strongholds that belongs to the government, they were empty as well. Like, some voting centers were completely empty, and in some we found like few lines. And this is really, really weird for a presidential election in Venezuela that has always been fueled by a lot of passion, especially when ex-president Hugo Chavez was alive. He used to wake up a lot of passion on people. This campaign wasn't like that, and this election wasn't like that at all.
And two of the most prominent figures of Venezuela's mainstream opposition were barred from running in the election, right? Yes. And there was talk of the opposition would boycott the election. Did that end up happening?
Yes, it ended up happening because many people didn't vote. Actually, I encountered many people that said, for me, this is another Sunday. I'm not going to waste my time. I already know what is going to happen. Because people, they don't believe in the institution that controls the elections in Venezuela. So they believe it was a waste of their time actually casting a ballot during these elections.
And the situation under Maduro, as we've seen, has been a humanitarian crisis. Is this continued leadership something that will now hopefully change things for Venezuelans or not? Because it's been awful.
It has been awful indeed. I think we're going to have really dark times in the next few months. More than 1 million Venezuelans have left the country in the past 2 years. And this exile probably will continue due to the re-election of Nicolas Maduro. People, they just can't cope with hunger, diseases, shortages of food, medicine, and now even water, because we're having heavy problems with water around the country as well. But the thing is, like, the country and the government is also running out of money. It is in a partial default. So it is difficult to imagine how President Maduro will end up his new term. Also, the United States says that it's considering further sanctions against Venezuela, including some possible oil embargo. Even though this option, according to some analysts, isn't the preferred option, since Venezuela is falling so quickly that every day is a more irrelevant supplier for the United States. So we could also expect some other sanction towards individuals close to Maduro regime. But this also have some inconvenience, because if this list expands, more officials will lose incentive to split from Maduro. So it's really difficult to imagine how the future in Venezuela will be and how they will continue coping with this crisis and if there's a possible or potential solution in the short term.
Mariana Zuniga is a freelance journalist in Caracas, Venezuela. Mariana, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
What happens when citizens try to escape their country's humanitarian crisis? By the end of this year, an estimated 3 million people will have left the country since 2015. That's one-tenth of Venezuela's population, and thousands of those people are taking the same path, crossing the Simón Bolívar International Bridge into the Colombian city of Cúcuta.
You've had hundreds of thousands of people cross into Colombia through that one point, into this rather small city, which is not an industrial city, and it really doesn't have the economy to absorb all these refugees coming in, and they can't find jobs, and that's what's largely created this refugee crisis right there in that spot.
Tim Padgett is the Americas editor for WLRN in South Florida. He traveled to Cúcuta this month to see firsthand how the city is grappling with the people who arrive each day.
Some go in just to find food and medicine and other basics, and then they return. Some go on to other countries like Ecuador or Peru, particularly if they have professional skills. But about a quarter of them, about 5,000 each day, stay there in Cúcuta, and they have become the mass of this refugee emergency.
You did end up speaking with a lot of Venezuelans who are leaving the country, and one of them was Zulema Villalba, who traveled earlier this year to Colombia with her family. And let's take a listen to what she said to you.
There is nothing left, no food, no medicine. Even if you can find it, you can't pay for it.
I mean, that's a pretty stark situation there, Tim.
Right. This particular woman and her family, they're from Maracay, Venezuela, not far from Caracas. They came from 500 miles away into Colombia because they started noticing that their three young children were seriously underweight. They weren't able to give them three square meals a day. And whatever wages they earned, I believe her husband is a mechanic, were just ravaged by hyperinflation there in Venezuela. So they've come to Cúcuta. They are trying to make ends meet every day by selling cell phone earbuds on the streets there. But it's not enough to meet both their needs for food and for shelter. And so I met them outside a church mission, as I recall, where they were trying to get registered for UN World Food Program food stamp benefits, because if they don't get those, they're afraid that they're going to have to start making very stark choices between food and shelter, and they'll have to end up sleeping on the streets.
And just so our listeners are aware, I mean, you mentioned this earlier at the beginning, but the situation in Venezuela right now is that there are supermarkets with completely empty shelves, folks who cannot get the medical attention or treatment that they deserve or need, right? I mean, this is pretty apocalyptic, it sounds.
Well, one of the things exacerbating that problem is that this dictatorial socialist regime that's in power in Venezuela right now, headed by President Nicolas Maduro, is in complete and utter denial about the crisis. And as a result, they have been rejecting most, if not all, of the international aid that has been offered them. And that's one of the things that is making this crisis so much more acute and pushing people out. And a lot of people really, I mean, consider that the real criminal act on the part of this regime. It's one thing to destroy your economy. It's another thing to reject the international aid that's coming to you in response to that calamity.
Now, you specifically were saying these folks are refugees because they're fleeing their country because of dire conditions there. But the United Nations has not declared the situation in Venezuela a refugee crisis. And you spoke to Joseph Merckx, who heads the Colombia operations for the United Nations Refugee Agency. And let's take a listen to what he had to say.
I prefer to call it a displacement crisis. We recognize there is a refugee dimension.
What is the difference, Tim, between a displacement crisis with a refugee dimension and just a refugee crisis?
Well, on the one hand, I understand the bind that the UN Refugee Agency is in. It has certain criteria and protocol for how it designates bona fide refugee emergencies, refugee crises. For example, natural disasters, wars like the refugee crisis in Syria, for example. The problem that the UN is having with this, what officials there concede to us, is that they're having trouble labeling what this emergency really is. They admit that they really don't have a historical reference point for how to define this emergency because, on the one hand, it may not be as severe as the Syrian refugee crisis, but on the other hand, it's far worse than just a mere economic migration or displacement crisis, as Mr. Merckx referred to it as. And so I think there is a growing pressure, particularly among the Venezuelan expat community here in South Florida, to get the UN to register this as a formal refugee crisis, because even though people may not be fleeing bombs in Venezuela, they are fleeing a life-threatening situation when you're talking about lack of food and medicine and so many other basics you need to live. And they are hoping then that if the UN does register this as a formal refugee crisis. It will raise this situation's global profile and start leveraging a lot more international aid to these people.
And Tim, you've got a couple more parts of this series coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect there?
We'll be airing a report on how the South Florida Venezuelan diaspora here has been coming up with ways to aid these refugees. We have the largest Venezuelan community in the United States here in South Florida, and they have begun to pivot a lot of their aid that they have been sending for years now to Venezuela over to Cucuta because they realize that so many Venezuelans now are going into Colombia and are in that refugee situation, and they have to find ways to help those people more directly. And then our third part, we'll look at this 180-degree reversal of the situation between Colombians and Venezuelans. When I lived in Venezuela about a generation ago, the situation was the opposite. You had Colombians escaping a civil war and poverty in their country coming into Venezuela as refugees. Now it's the other way around. You have Venezuelans coming into Colombia, and many Colombians are beginning to feel a little overwhelmed by this massive exodus of Venezuelans into their country. It's starting to create a bit of resentment. And for example, on May 27th, we have an election, a presidential election in Colombia, in which it looks like the conservative candidate will be the winner of at least the first round because of this anti-immigration sentiment that's beginning to bubble up in Colombia because of this Venezuelan refugee crisis.
Important story, and we'll be sure to pay attention to that. Tim Padgett is the Americas editor for WLRN. Thank you for being with us, Tim.
Thank you, Tanzina.